May I have your attention, please? Sabat Shalom, everyone. I'm Sonny Visual Label with Shonya Hawkins, and would now like to start sharing forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My son is Reb Yop Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Ben Azar into the sanctuary. I'd like to turn it over to Sonny Yeshua Benjamin Alexander.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is The Reason the Earth Was Created. The Earth Was Created for Man. Genesis 1:26. Please turn to Genesis 1:26. Then Yahweh said, I'll make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds over the air, the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. It is to mankind that Yahweh intends to give authority. That authority is to teach learning. It's to teach the whole universe in the way and for the purpose which it was made. It was made in peace, joy, and love, true love, with no harm to anyone and no wars. In Genesis 2:9, we see two trees for testing. Please turn to Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is planted to the sight and desirable for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also. The Savior Yeshua Messiah shows that two trees are given to mankind to prove who will be faithful, true to become righteous like Yahweh. Yahweh put two trees, religions to teach and let mankind choose which one he or she will follow. One, that teaches the way to eternal life by righteousness like Yahweh. And two, to be tested by the religion of Satan and the gods which bring eternal death. Romans 6, verse 16. Please turn to Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you yielded yourselves as servants to obey his servants, you are womb to obey, whether of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. Did you know that sin leads to death? To be evil like the gods leads to death and destruction? You have the choice to practice sin and to know that sin leads to death. You also have the right to refuse to let those who practice sin deceive you because you have the written words of the prophets of Yahweh, the written words of the 12 disciples of Yeshua Messiah. In the written word of Yeshua Messiah, all telling you the same thing. Please turn to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. Let's all practice righteousness, because he who practices righteousness is righteous, and only those who practice righteousness will be given the authority that Yah wants to give us. And for my closing scripture, please turn to Psalms 8, verse 6. You made man to be the ruler over the works of your hands. And may Yah bless your understanding. I now like to turn it over to Sonny Israel.
Son of Israel Abel, the great deacon, Melchizedek Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If we could turn over to the book of Matithiah, chapter 24. Matithiah chapter 24, it's found on page 752. For 6,000 years, Yahweh allowed mankind to go their own way. Under the influence of Satan. Under the influence of Satan and her gods. And what we're seeing right now taking place is going to be a very valuable lesson for generations to come. Okay? It's going to show what will take place without Yahweh and under Satan's influence. And you know, Pastor talked about this last week in his sermon. He said, that what you're doing right now is going to be a lesson for someone else, okay? Someone else in the future, for the future generations. But this lesson will only show mankind that living without Yahweh's laws will only result in misery and death. So if we could turn over to Matithiah 24, and let's start off on verse 7. It's found on page 752, and it says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics and earthquakes in place after place." And if we look down to verse 12 here, and it says, "And because iniquity, which is the breaking of Yahweh's laws, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures until the end, the same will be saved." Verse 14 says, "And this message of the kingdom of Yahweh will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So in Matthew 24, it shows us what would occur in this generation in these last days. It tells us about nations rising against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. It tells us about disease epidemics and earthquakes in place after place. It also tells us here about this love growing cold. And which you could see people's love growing cold, where people are willing to go into schools and shoot up schools, where people are willing to kill 125,000 babies, unborn babies a day, where we are willing to go into countries like Syria and Iraq and destroy and slaughter thousands of civilians, innocent people, and leave their cities looking like landfills. Okay? Now, right here is just a few of the many examples that show this love growing cold at this time, in this generation, and notice it was prophesied in advance. Now, if you remember in the services last week, Pastor talked about the greatest law is not found in the Ten Commandments, and Yahshua had told us about this greatest law, what this greatest law was. He said that it was to love Yahweh with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might, and to also love our neighbor as ourself. Now, how do we love Yahweh? We love Yahweh, of course, by keeping his laws. Okay? And the second one he said was like it, was to love our neighbor as ourself. Okay? And he said it was that these laws are so great that the laws and the prophets hang on these two things. So this should show us how important it is to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love Yahweh with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. Okay? Now, in the lying and betrayal sermons, Pastor talked about loving our neighbor as ourselves. And he said, would you be willing to give up your life for the person, for your neighbor? Okay? And this is something that we should ask ourselves. You know, would I be willing to give up my life for the person sitting in front of me, for the person sitting behind me, for the person sitting next to me? And you know, this is the point that we should get to, where we would be willing to do this. Okay? Now, if you notice in verse 12 of Matthew 24, it says why the love of many would grow cold. It is because of the breaking of the laws of Yahweh. Now, the laws of Yahweh tell us to love our neighbor as ourself. Okay? So due to the breaking of these laws, this one simple law, is why this is taking place in the world today. Now, the laws of Yahweh are laws of love. Okay? Simple laws like do not steal, do not murder, not to hold a grudge, not to covet. You know, these laws here, this list goes on and on. But these laws here, if they were taught and practiced and upheld in the world today, we would not see these things taking place that are going on. We would have true peace, joy, and love. So while all of this is going on, we also have the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, which it talks about in verse 14 of Matthew 24, being preached to all the world. Okay? And it's coming from Abel. Okay? But if we look over to the book of Genesis, Genesis 10, it's found on page 7. Genesis 10 in verse 8, starting off on verse 8, it says, Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. Notice he was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod the tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Now, if we look at the side notes here for Genesis 10, verse 8 and 9, G1 and R1, it says how Nimrod was a cruel oppressor and a tyrant. Okay? Nimrod had snared the minds of the people with his words, misleading them to rebel against Yahweh. So this is a system that we are seeing now, this Nimrod system that deceived and taught people to rebel against Yahweh. This same system that taught mankind to buck up against Yahweh. Okay, the same attitude was in the people when they came to the prophet Samuel and told him, we want a king. We want a king to judge us. Okay, and Samuel prophesied what would occur to them and to their children, the future generations, because they rejected Yahweh, because they wanted to go their own way. If we could go over to 1 Samuel chapter 8, it's found on page 228. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and let's look at verse 7 here. It says, Yahweh answered Samuel and said, Listen to all the words the people speak to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And verse 8, it says, Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this very day, they are now doing to you. They are forsaking me in order to serve God's Elohim. So, notice how they rejected Yahweh, and you can see what this has brought upon the world today. But soon we will see an end of man's governments and a start of Yahweh's governments. If we could be turning over to the book of Romans, chapter 13. You know, whenever I was thinking about my speech at first, I was going to name it, The End is Near. But then I thought about it for a little bit, and I thought I should name it something like, The End of Man's Governments is Near, and the beginning of Yahweh's government is soon to be. Okay? Praise Yahweh. If we look over to the book of Romans, chapter 13, but soon we will see the beginning of Yahweh's government, where there is true peace, joy, and love. And if we look over to verse 8, Romans 13 and verse 8, it says, Owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has performed the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, and you shall not bring false testimony, you shall not covet, and all other commandments are briefly summed up in these laws, namely, you must love your neighbor as yourself. And notice what he says here in verse 10. Love works no harm to his neighbor, therefore love the performing of the law. Okay? So we can see here in this verse, in verse 8, it says to owe this to our neighbor. Okay, now that word owe from dictionary.com It means to be under obligation to pay or repay, to be in debt to be in debt as to cause or as the cause or source of, and to have or bear a feeling or attitude towards something or someone. And it says to owe gratitude. All right, so this is something that we, this is our moral obligation to love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, and this is something that we should be striving to do. All right, so with that, that's all the time I have. If everyone will please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Great Deacon Antithia.
Shabbat shalom, great saints. You may be seated. May the peace of Yah be with each and every one of you. Hope everyone is enjoying this beautiful Shabbat. You know, we see a lot of chaos taking place in the world today. And we're going to look at some of these things here sort of quickly. You know, we pay attention to this news too when the news dust comes out by the great Kahan and the articles that are selected to bring before us. Now, last week, one of the articles we covered by the Kahan and our great pastor is about the viruses in the air, that floats in the air. This is the one right here. It said, don't look up. Astonishing numbers of viruses floats down to us from the sky. It said, don't look up. So we're going to go through some of these rather quickly, okay? And you will get more of it as you go back to these sermons and the book of Israel. And the book of Israel, okay? The books of Israel, very important that you take note of that. This study will make you think twice about stepping outside for a breath of fresh air. A team of scientists from around the world confirmed millions of viruses rising into the atmosphere, traveling sometimes for thousands of miles, and falling back down on the surface. Pastor brought this out many, many years ago. Okay, I know you said last week about 15 years ago, you go to the mark of the beast, you will see parts of these in there too. But we won't have the time to cover all of this today. But it also talks about, here's another one, fresh air may not be so fresh after all. A new study found that millions of viruses and bacteria are swept into the atmosphere and traveling long distance before eventually falling back down to Earth. Okay? And every day, and you want to pay attention to this, every day more than 800 million viruses are deposited per square meter above the planetary boundary layers. That's 25 viruses for each person. And this is in Canada, which the population in Canada is about 36 million, 37 million, I believe. People in Canada could correct me on that if I said it wrong. Okay. But think about that number for a minute. That's a lot of viruses that's being deposited back and forth. They say that bacteria and viruses are typically deposited back to it via rain and Sahara dust intrusion. However, the rain was less efficient removing viruses from the atmosphere at study. Now, in the sixth book of Israel, we're going to cover where a lot of these quotes were made by our great pastor. In the sixth book of Israel, this is chapter 3, verse 49. This is a time period when death is going to increase really severely. I think that a nuclear bomb they are going to explode will have something to do with the bringing up debris from the earth that should have never been brought back up. That debris is going to be mixed in the atmosphere with what is really there. And what is really there? Over 8 million viruses and more. That's what it could account for at this point. It's going to be brought back up and distributed throughout the world. This was in 2006. Praise Yahweh for the wind currents that we have seen before because they have protected Texas. You know, this protection, we are in a place of protection. You know, if you leave this place of protection, there's no guarantee what's going to occur. Well, sorry, take that back. It is guaranteed what's going to take place. So we are in the protected place. so far from much of the airborne contamination included a mad cow disease. This is going back again to this. This is the 15th book of Israel now. Chapter 2, verse 5. And please, you can write these down. But from the time you started breathing the first breath of air, you start taking in what you were breathing. There are articles. They couldn't get it for me this morning. This is pastor's words here. But maybe next week. But we was talking about a depleted uranium that was all over Iraq now. It doesn't hurt the oil, but it's all over Iraq. And it's not staying in Iraq now. Remember the wind currents. The wind currents. It moved these things to and fro, back and forth all the time. Okay, you have to remember these things. Again, he pointed out here that Yahweh is protecting this group here in Abilene, Texas. So we are in the protected place. Okay? There's a lot to think about here in this article I was mentioned that our great pastor and overseer have brought to us. And we have the ability, brothers and sisters, the title here is Yahweh's Prophecy Always Come to Pass. Okay? Yahweh's word of his teacher always come to pass. Doesn't have to come to pass tomorrow or the next day, but it always come to pass. And we must believe in the prophecy and the laws and the prophecy that our great pastor set aside by Yahweh to bring and teach us in these last days. Now, this is the third book of Israel. Who knows when the third book of Israel was written? Quickly. No one? 2004. Okay. Europe. They talk about a great pestilence in 1492. What took place? The Spanish Inquisition. Okay? I'm not going to just paraphrasing this for the sake of time. This is the third book of Israel, chapter 7, verse 26. And you can read these things. The third book of Israel, chapter 7, verse 26. These things are traveling 2 miles a day now. It was traveling. Families fled, leaving sick relatives to fend for themselves. Law and order was barely existence, and essential services collapsed. Doctors could not do nothing. Get this in your mind. Because they still cannot do anything to stop this disease. This is Israel, our great pastor right here, writings, okay? They are still helpless when it comes to these diseases. They're still helpless. This was in 2004. Continuing. This is the 9th book of Israel, part 2. Chapter 26, verse 33. It makes it very easy for us with the books of Israel now. Keying these words and all the information pops up there for us. And that's what we should be doing. If we take the time during the week, when we do have the time and the spare time, and like Pastor has been encouraging us, look up these words. Bacteria, viruses, you know, get ourselves, you know, as the news come out every week, I guarantee you something comes out in the news that you could take from that and put that word in the book, in the word in Israel said program, and you will get a lot of information there. Okay, so please keep these things in mind because there's a lot of information that's in this subject right here. Let's move on. I want to go to one here that I need to get in. It's the 7th book of Israel, part 1. Yahweh made each one of you, each one in his own order and his own species, and he put a barrier there to keep them from crossing and from mutating with one another. Now mankind has destroyed the barrier, that barrier. Mankind has destroyed that barrier. So he's got a pile of bugs here that are capable of killing mankind. Okay, and they are breathing and crossing all the time. And they are coming up with all sorts of little bugs that can float through the air. Which this may have been the way this girl got it, and he was talking about a situation here with someone that got this virus. All these viruses are in the atmosphere. Now, time will enable me to go through all the information here on the books of Israel, but I could guarantee you every word in that article, our great pastor and seer covered in the books of Israel. And that proves that Yahweh gave us the warning ahead of time in preparing us. And the things that we may think is not, we don't take important, is not serious, we need to take the instructions, we need to take the caution, listen and follow and obey all instructions, because Yahweh is inspiring Yahshua to inspire our pastor. Okay? So praise Yahweh. If you all please stand, may Yahweh bless your understanding. At this time, I turn over to the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. All right, we're going to have to go at a fire speed here. Last time I was here, we were talking about this sun god and the Super Sunday that was fixing to take place. Can I have my first slide? This was up on Drudge, came up on Drudge the same day. First slide, please. Told you we're going to have to move a little rapidly here. Here's the headline on Drudge when Pastor was speaking a couple Sabbaths ago, and he talked about, he said, today is 11/17. And he said, this new calendar, we're going to be turning this system around. We're going to be turning it upside down. Can you show the next slide? You see that 11/17? That's called, it's no longer the Super Bowl, it's going to be down the toilet bowl. There you go, 11/17. And even if that day wasn't 11/17, certainly the next day was, right? So, go to the next slide, please. We're going to be continuing to expose this man of sin in the midst of tribulation. And I think these messages are being speeded up because we don't have much time. Okay, now, we've got the new calendar online. You know, the first thing you see on that write-up is we've got to get their names out of our mouths. In other words, you know, don't give honor to these gods. Remember Psalm 16:4. God on lips, you know, 666. We've got to get these gods out of our mouth. Can I have my next slide? Here's the man, Pope Gregory the 13th, Latin name Gregorius the 13th. His born name was Ugo Boncompagni, and he's from a place called Bologna, which I think he's full of. That's pretty fitting. But, you know, I want to title this sermon today, Dragon Pope, and Dragon, the Great Red Dragon, because I want you to notice he was Pope from 1572 to 1585. You know, some of these popes were a little more obvious with what they were doing. Okay, some of them are great at pretending, but this one was really upfront about what this church is all about. Can I have my next slide? Let's look at his name in Gematria. Just look at the first top number, Gregorius the 13th, Ugo Boncompagni, is 1404. Can I have my next slide? 1404, look at that. Dragon. A dragon. And notice it says, all it means to see. You know, like the Holy See, or that all-seeing eye. And it says, like serpents, seeing their prey from afar, exercising his subtle impact on heathen governments. You know, this subtle impact, like this calendar that he made, how it had a subtle impact on everyone in worshiping these gods and getting them to be, you know, controlled with these gods, okay, in their mind. Let's go to the next slide. Remember, he's the Dragon Pope. Dragon Pope 666. Please be writing these down, because these are all going to be in the book of 666 that the house of Yahweh is going to be putting out. Can I have my next slide? This is what's called, and I think it's cut off at the top, it's called the coat of arms of Pope Gregory the 13th. Now, isn't this interesting? In the middle there, you see a flying dragon. Remember, this is his coat of arms. This is his insignia. It's actually even the insignia of his family. And this is found in the ceiling of the Church of Santa Maria in Araceli in Rome, Italy. Okay? Can I have my next slide? Here's another picture of his papal crest. Now, notice this. Now, who would be putting a dragon? Really? A dragon. Using a dragon? Can I have my next slide? Coat of arms, 666. Okay, coat of arms. Does anybody here have a coat of arms? Hopefully not, because that's a war insignia. Can I have my next slide? Here's another picture in the Vatican. This is what's in a monument honoring Pope Gregory the 13th. Notice the red dragon, again, in the center. Can I have my next slide? There you go. It's got his Latin name written around that circle, and it's got the dragon in the middle. Remember, this is all about the one that made the calendar, that commissioned this Gregorian calendar. Next slide. Here's the tomb of Gregory the 13th, complete with a dragon at the base. Next slide. This is from St. Peter's Basilica information online, this monument to Gregory the 13th. It says, this monument represents the Pope giving his blessing on top of an urn bearing a relief showing the promulgation of the Gregorian calendar in 1582 when October 4th was followed by October 15th. Remember, he knocked off 10 days off the calendar. At the sides, there are allegorical statues of religions holding the tablets of the law, and the Magnificence at the base is a dragon, alluding to the heraldic device of the Boncomni family. That was their family crest as well, okay? And notice that to the right there, a red dragon. This is on their website. This is a Vatican website. Next slide. Here's the epitaph written on the base of that statue where that dragon is, and this time they're calling him Gregoria 13 Pont Max, like Pontifex Maximus, or the high priest of the Roman faith. Next slide. And again, it comes up 1404. What a coincidence, right? Remember, that means dragon. Can I have my next slide? You know, behold, the great red dragon. Okay, now 666. But notice the other two numbers, 1296. Let's look at that. Next slide. 1296 divided by 216 is 6. Okay, so you see the 666 even in that number. Next slide. The third number is 216, which we should all be familiar with. Next slide. Which is 6 times 6 times 6. So you see 666 written all over this, behold the great red dragon. Okay, this is not a coincidence. Next slide, please. Switch gears a little bit. Did you notice the other day we had the 18th school shooting in 2018? Did that click in your mind? 666. Did anybody see that? Just the other day in Florida. Remember, in Florida is where the other shooting, the Pulse shooting, occurred on 6-12-06. 6-12-16. The same day, Pastor was up here and myself talking about the number 18 on that first page, okay, and the number 666. How many days ago was that from that shooting? Can I have the next slide? What a coincidence. From June 12, 2016 to Wednesday, it says 14th of February, which is the Roman names, 612 days. 612, you remember that number? Wow, what a coincidence. Okay, next slide. Here is a coin, it's kind of like a coin that was cast that year that Pope Gregory the 13th changed the calendar, okay, from the Julian to the Gregorian. He had a decree he put out about this, but this is a coin that commemorated that event. Now, I want to look at the flip side of that coin there, you know, the backside a little closer. Can we have the next slide? I want you to notice what you see there. You see a dragon swallowing his own tail, okay? And you see what looks like, they say it's a ram there. And, you know, the ram, now I want you to give you a little background about this calendar. The reason Pope Gregory claims that he wanted to change his calendar is to set Easter on March 21st, like the Council of Nicaea told them to do. But 10 days had been, you know, added on the calendar, and it wasn't falling on the 21st of March anymore, so he decided to get it back to March 21st, we need to knock 10 days off. So, March 21st is when the sign of the ram and the zodiac, Aries, actually comes into play. So what's shown there is the circle, the snake eating its own tail, is the yearly cycle where it will always end up on March 21st, Easter Sunday. Remember, this is all about the worship of the Easter sun goddess and the gods and goddesses of the sun. But if you look at that ram's head really close, doesn't that look like a serpent's head? And I also see a couple sixes for horns. I think we need to look at that a little closer next time. Can I have my next slide? Now, the papal decree changing the calendar, Pope Gregory's papal decree, was called Inter Gravissimus, which means something about, you know, this is something very important we need to do. We need to change this calendar. That was the name of the decree. Can I have my next slide? And remember, Pope's decree, 666. Okay? Can I have my next slide? I'm going to read one quote at the top, at the beginning. It says, among our serious pastoral duties, not the last, is that we care to complete those sacred rites reserved by the Council of Trent in 1545 to 63 with the guiding assistance of God. And remember, guided by a God was 666. But I want you to notice the 17th, the very last paragraph of this decree. This is a threat against you right here. Everybody sitting in this sanctuary. You ready? Let's show it. 17. No one among men, therefore, is permitted to infringe on this page our prescription, mandate, establishment, wish, approval, prohibition, suppression, abolition, exhortation, and request, nor dare reckless opposition. But if you tamper with this, he's talking about this calendar, this decree, Almighty God will take you up with indignation, and you will have the fortune to encounter his apostles, Peter and Paul. Well, I wonder who he's talking to, because the only one brave enough that I know to change this calendar, which we've done now, House of Yahweh, give Yahweh a hand. Can I have my next slide, please? Here's the gematria. There's only one number you can use because the other ones were way too big. 3712, that's the gematria of this threat that he made. Can I have my next slide? Look at that. All right? Because the branch and the donkeys, right, are the ones to do this work and change this decree. Are you scared? Next slide. 3712 in the Greek, it means, it's the word fathom, and it's from 3713, and it means to stretch oneself, reach after, long for, covet after, and desire. Because we desire righteousness, right, House of Yahweh? We do everything we can to become righteous. It's from 3735, and it means a mountain, as lifting itself above the plain. Turn to Zechariah 4:7, please, in your book, Yahweh. Zechariah 4:7, on page 718. Again, I got to move rapidly. It says, who are you, O great mountain, Pope Gregory? Red Dragon, Catholic Church. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. You know why? Because this mountain's going to be lifted up. It's being lifted as we speak. Okay? Look at verse 10. Or verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands will also finish it, and you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Now turn over to Daniel 2:35 very quickly. Because remember, Daniel shows the destruction of this image of Babylon by the stone cut out without hands. Daniel 2:35, the very last part of the verse, he says, he talks about that image that struck with the stone. The stone is the house of Yahweh. And it says, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And Babylon, again, is going to become a plain. Okay? Next slide. Now, the Gregorian calendar came out in 1582. That was 436 years ago this year. Next slide, please. 436 means to stand against, to resist, to oppose, establish one's position publicly by conspicuously, like putting out a calendar in opposition to Pope Gregory's decree, right? Means to forcefully declare one's personal convictions, to strongly resist an opponent. Isn't that what Zerubbabel means? He who opposes Babylon. Next slide. 436 in the Hebrew is a terebinth. Turn over to Genesis 12 so you can see what a terebinth is. Genesis 12:1 or 12:6. says, and Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the mighty teacher. That's the word terebinth, okay? The mighty teacher. Who's that? That's right, it's the branch, the one you've tethered yourself to. Aren't you glad? Next slide. Now look here, Israel, my beloved, turn to Revelation, look at the number, 22:16. Now turn to Revelation 22:16. Okay? Revelation 22:16. This has been brought out before about his signet. He says, I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, Pastor told us a while back, we need to write under that, my Moloch, Molochim. And he also said, that's us, the donkeys. I'm going to prove it to you right now. This is the 16th book of Israel, the very last chapter. And by the way, your homework is to read the last two chapters of the 16th book before our next meeting. Okay, please remember that. This is the very last chapter, 43 and verse 75. Pastor says, now prophecy, that prophecy, you can't beat these prophecies. They're 100% effective. He says, back to Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it through his Moloch to his servant Yochanan. That word signified means signify through his messenger. Revelation 22:16 shows who his messenger is. He says, that messenger, he signifies it through his messenger in 22:16 to his servant who was Yochanan. He says, that messenger is shown in Genesis 49, the donkeys. So Yahweh gives this to Yahshua, who gives it to his messenger to show to Yochanan. Remember the family film last night? Who was showing Yochanan these things? It was Pastor, just like he showed to Daniel and other prophets, right? Through the television. Okay, now watch. Next slide. 22:16 in Strong's is Zerubbabel. What a coincidence, right? Next slide. 22:16 in the Greek is Zerubbabel. Now that's a coincidence, I'm sure. Now, so who is his Moloch? Next slide. Who is his Moloch? 860. Let's see who that is. It says 860. Let's look at that number. Next slide. The donkeys. Oh, Yahshua's Moloch, Malachim, the donkeys, working with the branch, right? Just like Pastor just said. Just like Pastor just said. Isn't that amazing? Now, Pastor didn't know this number when he gave that sermon. Okay? Isn't that incredible? And no, notice this. It's the very word used in Genesis 49:11. Remember he said in Genesis 49, those messengers are shown. That messenger is the branch and the donkeys together doing this work. Aren't you glad you've tethered yourself to Israel Hawkins? But there's a little more than that. Check this out. Go to the next slide. In the Greek, it means fastening, joining. It's from 680, and it means to attach oneself to fasten oneself to adhere to cling to. And it's from 681, and it means to fasten to set on fire. Remember, Yahshua lit up this seventh work, and we're working together with Yahshua. Yahshua gave this message to Pastor, the branch, and his donkeys to get this work done, and we're doing that work, right, House of Yahweh? So, I don't know if today's the first of the 12th disciples, because I haven't heard yet, but the 12 disciples being the 12th moon. Can I have my next slide? But if, notice the 12th moon means 12 disciples. Next slide. But if it is, 2474, that top number, can I have the next slide? It means Israel. 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 And it's from 3478 in Strong's Hebrew means Israel. Last slide. There you go. Don't believe the news hype. You better look up because your redemption is drawing near, House of Yahweh. Aren't you glad you're behind the branch? Stay behind the branch. Okay, stay behind them. We're going to win, House of Yahweh. And with that, if you'd all please stand, it is my great honor and opportunity to present to you another great donkey in Yahweh's house, the great Kahan Shaul Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. You may be seated. We need to keep moving this morning. We're going to continue in our study of why we have to get away from this worldly calendar and just how deep the ideas that were put into this worldly calendar affect our lives, not ours anymore, but affected the lives of the world for so long that we have to change it. In order to go through with this plan of coming to perfection, we have to get away and come out fully from this world. Now, the whole point of this worldly or Roman calendar was to get the people to organize and live their lives around being evil like the gods. Just like Genesis 3 shows, be evil like the gods. You will surely not die. To get the people to sin and to serve as reminders month after month, week after week, to worship the gods. This is the whole point of it. It's all surrounding this. And these gods, these little cute stories that they try to come up with under this mythology, which are, you know, the worthless gods, they have no power. They cannot create. You know, they've got no power to save. They can't give a person salvation. But the stories go that these gods were in control of everything. Every aspect of life, of agriculture, we'll see. Family life. Commerce. And what does commerce in the world eventually lead to? War. War and fighting. Turn over to Yaakov, because this is what it's all about. War. Yaakov 4 says in verse 1, what causes wars and fighting among you? Is it not from this, from your lusts that battle in your members? And this was the purpose of the gods, to put this lust in the minds of the people, to lust after things that Yahweh forbid because they bring harm to yourself and others in the environment. And that's all we've seen come forth from the gods and from the calendar of the gods is harm. Nothing but harm, no benefit to anyone. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet but cannot obtain. Remember, ever searching for peace but never finding it. And you ask but do not receive because you ask with wrong purposes. Yes, we teach ask. That's one of the primary principles of the peaceful solution is to ask. But that doesn't mean if you ask for wrong things, you're going to get them. And certainly not from Yahweh. Now, the world says, go and grab it. That's why when they ask and didn't get, they went to war, to steal it, to beat down the people and to take their possessions as their own. And he says, do you think that the scriptures, you adulterers and adulteresses. This is another thing that this calendar promotes. Do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is, notice, the enemy of Yahweh. And I don't think any of us here want to be counted as the enemy of Yahweh. He says, do you think that the scriptures teach in vain that the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? And so much greater is the mercy that he gives. That is why he says, Yahweh resists the proud. Well, the gods were the proud that lifted themselves up over their fellow man or fellow woman. They lifted themselves up and sought to dominate, but gives mercy to the humble. And Yahweh plans on giving a lot more to the humble. The humble are going to inherit the earth, as Genesis 1:26 shows. But turn over to Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, we see You know, they thought they had control over agriculture and that they had control over war. They think they have such control over war. Remember, Henry Kissinger just recently said that a well-conducted nuclear war, you know, can accomplish our goals. I'm paraphrasing his words. You know, I guess nuclear war done right, it will work. They think they can control it, but they're not in control at all. Notice in verse 12, when you work the soil, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. They weakened it. Remember, they fed the soil with what? Blood, bloodshed in anger and hatred. You shall be a fugitive, and you will be ever searching for peace on the earth. In verse 14, there will be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. Look over to verse 17, chapter 3, 17. Look at the last part here. Because they went the ways of the gods, cursed will be the ground for your sake, or because of your ways. In toil you shall eat from it, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you'll eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, dust you were, and to dust you shall return. You know, so how proud can dust get? You know, I guess you can kick up quite a dust storm, but, you know, really, that there's nothing left. You know, when that breath of life is taken that we saw last week, there's nothing left but dust. And unless there's righteousness recorded in those molecules, in that dust, in that bone. But the gods were never in control. Yahweh is the only one in control. Yahweh is the only source of power. Yahweh is the creator. But the goal of the gods was to turn man against the creator. Now, it wasn't the gods that were going to do the controlling here. It's the Catholic Church that Cain started, that Nimrod perfected an education system for. And it was continued on through to the Romans, you know, the 12 tribes that became, that moved to Rome and became the Roman Empire and is now the Roman Catholic Church. I want to read you some quotes. This is from the book Unveiling Satan, but it's from page 261 here in the interview with Malachi Martin. And they're talking about the Pope and the competition for world dominion. He says, well, you know that real dominion over men and women is not with bombs and planes. That helps, he says, that helps. Sure it does. But real dominion is when I possess your will and supply you with the concepts by which you live, the teachings of the gods. And they captured this through the calendar of recording the days and setting the days in advance that would come and what they would look forward to and what they would do and how their lives would be led and how they would be just like they were in Egypt, enslaved to make, you know, their little bit of money and then go to the stores and be filled with lust to buy. And we'll get to this in the scriptures here because this is exactly what the Catholic Church is all about. It is about who will hold and wield the power of authority and control over each one as individuals and over all of us together as a community, the entire population of the earth. There is no way it can be reversed or called off. No, it's going to continue until nuclear war. Our way of life as individuals and as citizens of the nations, our families, our jobs, our trade and commerce and money, our education systems and religions and our cultures, even the badges of national identity, which most of us have taken for granted, all have been powerfully and radically altered forever. No one is exempted from its effects. No sector of our lives remains untouched. This was the goal of the gods, to bring the people under control just like they did, you know, and keeping them away from righteousness just like they did in Egypt with Moshe. Now, Yahweh's calendar has another purpose. If you'll turn over to Exodus 5. Exodus 5. Remember, Moshe was sent by Yahweh to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Because they just wanted to wander around and they were tired of living in Egypt. They wanted to wander around the desert for 40 years, right? Just take a little trip and see where they ended up. No. He says in verse 1, "Afterward, Moshe and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what Yahweh Almighty, the Father of Israel, says, let my people go so they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.'" This is the purpose of Yahweh's calendar, is to set the appointments with Yahweh so that we can meet with Yahweh. He can teach us of His laws and we can learn them and come to complete perfect righteousness so that He can fulfill what He wrote there in Genesis 1:26. This is the purpose of the calendar of Yahweh. When you look at the calendar of the gods, do you see any of that? None, none at all. And then in Exodus 10, you know, they went to him again. And Pharaoh says, "Okay, we'll let you go. Okay, I give up. You guys win. Let's let you go. But only the men go," he said. And then, so Moshe, you know, prayed to Yahweh again, and the locusts came over Egypt. And then in verse 20, Pharaoh hardened his heart and didn't let him go again. So it took a while, but by Exodus 12, Yahweh showed His power over the gods through the microorganisms that brought death because of their sin, and what they brought forth in the microorganisms brought death to the firstborn of Egypt, and they were able to leave. But just as Yahweh showed His power over the gods in the days of Moshe, so much more is He showing His power over the gods right now with us, bringing us out of Egypt through the chosen branch, Yahweh's seventh Moloch, Israel Hawkins. And little by little, He's giving us everything that we need and getting us away from this way of the gods, getting the gods out of our minds completely, and especially through this calendar. Because Yahweh wants to give those who choose only righteousness. He wants to give us, if we'll choose righteousness only, control over microorganisms that control the entire economy. Because remember, everything comes from the earth. And to put a stop to war. Remember in Isaiah 2, they will learn war no more. And because of the appointments of Yahweh and what we're going to teach them at these appointments. But I want to quickly look at these gods. And don't go to the world trying to study the gods. You know, get the devil worship book. And you can get the Sabbath book for more on the calendar. And then the Unveiling Satan book. But don't go to the world for your education. Don't go to YouTube and Facebook and these places to try to get an education. Yahweh's already provided it for us. An advanced, way advanced college degree in the literature of the house of Yahweh. But you know, the first of the year on this Pope Gregory calendar here is January. And it's named after Janus, a god Janus. And they call him the god of gates. Well, how ironic, because Babylon is the gate of gods. So right off the bat, we start with Babylon. Can it get any worse? Yep. Then you get February, the purification of the great mother goddess who gave birth to Tammuz on December 25th. And then the wolf celebration, Lupercalia, that they call Valentine's. And you can get the Valentine's booklet for more information. More lust, more fornication, more adultery, more STDs. Wow, this is coming at you off your calendar wall. More spending on useless stuff. And then we get to the month of March. Mars, the god of war here. Wow, what a great month. And that was the start of the season for going to war. I guess it was too cold in the winter. They really liked to fight, but it was too cold, so they waited for the springtime. And then they started the agriculture. And Mars represented military power as a way to secure peace. Now, I'm not saying all wars now begin in March, but remember in 2003, in March is when George Bush invaded Iraq. Then we get to April. This is a great one. The month of Venus, Aphrodite, Hillel, Lucifer. Remember Isaiah 14. You know, when they turn over to Jeremiah 44, when the agriculture took off here, they didn't give Yahweh the credit, all right, which it was Yahweh and the microorganisms that he set in motion is bringing forth agriculture. No, let's see who they thanked here in Jeremiah's day that has never stopped. In verse 15, Jeremiah 44, 15. Well, let's start in 16. He says, then the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to the Hindu gods together answered Jeremiah, saying, concerning what you, the word you have spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, we will not listen to you. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, just as we and our fathers. Remember 1 Samuel 8:8. As they did from the day they came out, they never stopped worshiping the gods. For then we had plenty of food, were successful, and experienced no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and got tested for the kingdom, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and famine. And so they're not going to stop. All right, their lusts overwhelmed their whole reasoning, and their senseless mind were darkened, and they gave the credit to the creation and not to the Creator. Well, then we come to the month of May, another month of Mary here. This is the Catholic Church. May is the month of Mary. So it looks like she gets 2 months in a row here, but wait a minute. And then we get to June, which is the month of the Roman goddess Juno. Did you know that? All right, Juno. The patron of marriage actually should be the patron of divorce because they all end up in fights and they end up in divorce court. And the well-being of women, what a laugh. Women, don't be deceived by this, because when they made statues of her, she also was depicted as a goddess of war. Huh, she's the goddess of marriage and the goddess of war. Well, isn't that where all the worldly marriages end up? In war or divorce court, they call it. And then we run into July, named after Julius Caesar, all right? And some of the derivatives of that word are descended from Jupiter or Zeus. They gave him different names in Rome and Greece, the god of war. And so this is what Julius Caesar was all about. And he started the first Julian calendar there. Which, by the way, I want to throw this in here, that the numbering of the days of the week were never interrupted. And you can go, and it's in the Sabbath book. They were never interrupted. The count to the Sabbath day was never interrupted. The last day, and I'm going to use these worldly terms, but the last day of the Julian calendar was on a Thursday. The first day of the Gregorian calendar was on a Friday. They never lost the track of the days of the week. So don't be deceived thinking that, you know, we're supposed to count the Sabbath a different way. You know, some of the things say count it from the new moon. Well, we wouldn't have Sabbath now. This would be first day. How ridiculous is that? But anyways, then we get to August, the month of Augustus Caesar. He was the son of Julius, and it means diviner. One who obtains a favorable prediction or prophecy, a divine favor. And it says prediction, foretell, warning of future occurrence. And Yahweh predicted this entire system and told what would occur from beginning to end. Turn over to Yekezkiah 28. And he told why the control? And he said to Satan, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. In Yekezkiah 28, verse 3, there is no secret they can hide from you. But with your wisdom and your understanding, you've gained riches for yourself. By your great wisdom and your trading, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. And then we see in verse 13, You were in Eden, the garden of Yahweh, and every precious stone. You were the guardian cherub in verse 14. And I married you on the holy mountain, and you walked up and down in the midst. You were perfect until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. War, remember, this is where war comes from. And your heart was lifted up because of your beauty and the iniquity of her trading. And we know that, and it also means lawsuit. This August and the diviner relates to lawsuit, accusation, strife. And this is going to bring about nuclear war. But remember, Satan is the accuser of the believers. And what she said even about Eob there that Pastor brought out last week, about accusing Eob, oh, you're just protecting him. And he's not truly reverencing you. But in 18:9, he says, the kings of the earth, Revelation 18:9, who have committed fornication and live luxurious with her, will wail over her, standing afar off, for in 1 hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn, for no one buys their merchandise anymore because they're dead, you know, and all their merchandise goes to waste. And verse 17, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. All right. And this is what this lust is going to result in. The lust for stealing and cheating and iniquity in the trading and bringing about this war that will darken the sun and moon. And then we have September comes next, called the harvest month. And this is where these harvest festivals, thanking the gods again, thinking that the gods provided these things, the growth, the crops and so on, and where the modern day Thanksgiving came from. It started that. And as we saw in Jeremiah 44, they attributed the success to the Queen of Heaven, denying Yahweh, as Romans says. And then we get to October, the month of Halloween. All the dead gods, they couldn't have enough days. They couldn't expand the calendar because there was a god for every day. So they said, well, let's do it all in one day. And worship of the dead. And put Isaiah 65:4 in your notes, that they ate the sacrifices to the dead. And then November. This is the month, again, of the harvest, the fertility gods of the harvest, the modern Thanksgiving. And remember, that was in the summer, but they wept for Tammuz. And Yeketskia says, even in my house, I've seen this, the women weeping for Tammuz, this god that was born again in the next month of December here, the birthday of the sun god and the descent of the gods, because these gods supposedly, you know, dropped down from heaven and came down and became little babies and grew up and brought salvation, this infant savior that they worship here during this month, which, if you'll read the Christmas booklet, has nothing to do with the birth of the Savior. It has everything to do with the iniquity of their trading here that's going to bring about war. Because the Catholic Church is trying to take the dominion over every individual to extract the wealth, and then they plan on trying to destroy the world, and they're going to come out on top. Remember the three-way competition, and the Vatican is 100% sure they got it from Mary herself, so it's got to be right, right? That they're going to come out on top. Well, then we get to the days of the week here. Now, if you'll notice, in Genesis 1, gives you the names of the days of the week. It's real hard. You know, you might, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. All right? Now, what they did the same thing similar to the months, and they call it the planetary week. They named these the days of the week after the abode of the gods, and as Pastor wrote in there is someone out there that these planets, and we saw this during the war in heaven, that the planets were where these gods dwelt. And Sunday, of course, is the Lord's Day, Baal, in honor of the sun god. And this is the day that they worship their God, their Lord. You know, if the days of the week got mixed up, like some people want to say, they might end up doing something that they terribly hate and mistakenly worshiping on the Sabbath. So they made sure that the days of the week, because they wanted to. And then Monday is supposed to be the day of the moon. Tuesday is the day of Mars. The names sound different because they use the Norse names to replace it. But Tuesday is the day of Mars, of war, fighting, and lust. Wednesday, the day of the planet Mercury or the god Mercury, a day of commerce. Remember the iniquity of your trading. Shop till you drop. Buy a bunch of useless junk that you don't need. And then Thursday is the day for Jupiter, who is the king of the gods, or Zeus. Remember, the hey Zeus, what they made out to be the Savior's name. And then Friday, of course, is Venus. Venus, we saw that, and you'll see that in Isaiah 14, the day of lust. There, lusting, trying to put more lust into people's minds. And then Saturday, Saturday they call it, is Saturn. But brothers and sisters, please get Yahweh's calendar. Study this calendar. Start using it every day. Learn Yahweh's way, which is based on observation of observing the green ears. Remember, the year begins. If you'll go back to Exodus 10 and 12 and Deuteronomy 16, put that in your notes. The year begins with the sighting, and you actually have to see it with your eyes. The sighting of the green ears, and then the sighting of the next new moon. Let this be in there. And for our closing scripture, please turn over to 1 Yochanan. 1 Yochanan 5. And we'll see verse 20, verse 19. Well, let's go to verse 18. I think we got a few minutes. We know that whoever is born of Yahweh does not sin, but he who has been begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and the evil one does not touch him. So if we get away from these things and flee, Satan, flee and resist her, she will flee from us. We know that we belong to Yahweh and that the whole world, underline that, circle it, whole world. Remember, all means all, is under the control of the gods. And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come and has given an understanding in order that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, for we are in His Son. We take on His life. We, as Yahshua lives, so must we. Yahweh is the true Father and eternal life. He's the only one that has eternal life to give. Then finally in verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from the defilement of the gods. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And if everyone will please stand, I know I have the honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. You will find the month of November is a very interesting month. I don't know what the harvest, but I can tell you this. In the old Roman church and in the Orthodox churches, it's called the month of the holy souls. They worship those gods for 30 days on that month. And Halloween is the day before. Halloween, the day before the month of the holy souls. And I have books that'll show it. It's not a lie. They're books, not even, you know, any other. Please take your book of Yahweh and turn to Revelation 1:11 on page 971. We are going to go through a couple of things because this is very important. Revelation 1:11. Revelation 1:11 in 971 in your book of Yahweh, where it says, saying, I am the Aleph and Tau, the first and the last. And what you say, write in a book and send it to the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. If that was one person, boy, he was doing a lot of driving, I know that. But anyway, the word write that is written in Revelation 1:11 is translated from the Hebrew word sephar. This word is listed on pages 184 through 193 of volume 8 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Klines, which shows this word means book, writing, art of writing, document of Yahweh's count, and a document of Yahweh's record. The word sin that is written in Revelation 111 is translated from the Hebrew word shalak, Hebrew word shalak. This word is listed on pages 372 through 390 of volume 8 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Klines, and pages 1389 and 1390 through 19 through 1391 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius, which shows this word means be sent, commissioned of a person, be sent to convey a message. Yahweh sent, Yahweh's word, Yahweh's commission, truth, peace, to set, turn one person against another, a habitation or house forsaken by its inhabitants. Now hold your place there and turn, please turn to Yochanan on page 822. Yochanan chapter 6, verse 66. This scripture right here, Revelation 11:1, has an Atbash code in it, and Aleph Tau, and if the deacon will get it focused in for you, right there. And this same Atbash code is tied into Yochanan chapter 6, verse 66, which reads, well, oh, it's over here. 822 is the page. I apologize for that. I wrote down the wrong number. It says, at this many of his disciples turned away and no longer walked with him. So, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, which is the mission of the Atbash Code, Isaiah chapter 10, it's from Isaiah, and everything, 28:10-7-10 is the scripture number, is that this scripture here is telling you what he's talking about in Revelation. All we know is it says there were messengers sent to all these places, and they were to teach the word of Yahweh to these people. But it points out that Yochanan 6 verse 66 says that, and let this be as part of the interpretation of this scripture in Revelation 1:11, because the Atbash code, you have Aleph Tau in both of them. Show the Yochanan 666. Okay. It's in?
Yep.
Thank you. I'm not very great with that little thing. If you'll notice, there's the Atbash code right there. So what is really being said in all these things, Revelation 11:1 is saying this point, saying, I am Aleph and Tau. There's the Aleph Atbash code there, but it writes it in a regular word. The first and the last. For what you see has already been written in the book of Yahweh. But those sent bringing this message to the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea, were opposed and rejected by the world. And from that time, many in those congregations did no longer walk with the ones who had been sent. What you need to understand is people leave. If they leave, then you better look and look at the number right here. 666. It says, have nothing to do with them. They're blind leaders of the blind. And the first one they're leading astray is themselves. Instead, stay with your brothers and sisters in the house of Yahweh. And the number one thing is what I heard, love keeping the law. The law says love your neighbor as yourself. And that means don't walk away with those who do. They can offer you nothing but heartache and loss in this life and the life to come, which theirs won't be that much longer. Yes, exactly. The point of the matter is, though, a fall away, Yochanan says his new number is 666. There's a church group that believes that everybody that's out there that has rejected Jesus is going to have three sixes on their forehead. You walk in there and they take their hat off or their veil off. 666. There was even talk that everybody's social security number would be 666, then 422-121034 or whatever. That's not a phone number, by the way. I mean, you hear all these things. But what we do know is it's not their forehead that the number is being programmed. It's in your mind, your heart, your brain, your heart. And this scripture says it is written in the preterite sense. It means it occurred, and that means it's fixing to come. These people are 666. It says stay away from them. Instead, love keeping the law. Love your neighbors yourself. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Children, love your parents. Brothers and sisters, love the priests, the deacons, the kohanas, the judges, everybody. Love one another. And you love one another by wanting to do for them, not against them. But this is what Revelation 1:11 and the Akbash code showing us with Yochanan 6 verses 66 says. You don't love your neighbor. You don't love Yahweh. You want that number in your heart. And I'm sure if they told you to put it on your forehead, people would go and get it branded in their forehead. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I want to read you something very quickly to get this into your mind before we watch the news today. And this is out of the Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, page 287. And Pastor writes, the whole world is deceived. And of course, he references Revelations 12, verse 9, where it says, and that serpent called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. And Pastor goes on to say that the whole deceived world belongs to Satan. That's very important to understand that. This whole deceived world belongs to Satan. And it is only after you are called out of this deceived world that you are even able to be of Yahweh. Before you were called, before any of us were called, as the rest of this world, deceived and not knowing you are deceived, if one is deceived and not called, he does not or she does not even have the opportunity to receive salvation. That deceived person does not know Yahweh, nor is he known of Yahweh. So it's very important to remember that and never forget 1 Kefa 4:17, for judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. This last week, once again, and I know there's conspiracy theorists out there that will tell you that there's no such thing as school shootings, it's all fake. But yes, that tree is very evil, and surely you will die, and the love of many has grown cold. As Matthew 24:12 says, and Daniel 12:10 says, the wicked will do wickedly, and they won't understand. But I want you to watch in the news that this tragedy, 17 lives lost, but I want you to pay close attention to everybody on the news literally saying, I guess once again, we'll come together, we'll say a prayer, we'll give our thoughts, we'll hug each other, we'll go away until it occurs again. And until it occurs again. And until it occurs again. And then I want you to listen to Congressman Jim Himes. I'm not going to say what he says, but I will tell you there's some language in here. But they ask him, what's going to be done about it? And he gives the most honest answer I've ever heard from a politician. Pay close attention, you won't miss it. But watch the frustration of everybody saying, what's the answer? What's the answer? Of course, they don't have an answer. The answer comes forth from Abilene of the house of Yahweh, and the peaceful solution is the answer. And I also want you to think about this. For those people that may think that this is bogus, I want to share something briefly with you about what our missionary team goes through. While we've been teaching hundreds of thousands of students, traveling many different countries, talking to students about what's going on today, they know it to be real. They recently just went and taught in schools where every school had a suicide this year. So it is real that these things are taking place. It's not bogus. The tree is evil that's out there in this world. People are dying. It's a real consequence of sin. And then it shows the hatred, how the love of many have grown cold, where this man who was running away from the police, he was driving with a suspended license, and he eventually loses his life. But I want you to see how the love has grown cold even in that situation. And then, of course, Afghanistan. 1.7 million people have applied to show that they have been harmed in war crimes, crying out to the ICC, that's the international court. 1.7 million complaints being made to try to combat what's going on in their country. Then Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, remembered we brought a while back about how they were looking to indict him. Well, the police department has issued indictments. Now it's left up for the Attorney General to indict him. And if he is removed, there are many people waiting to take his place, one of them being Yair Lapid, who has said that he will put the two-state solution into effect, and we brought that. Now keep in mind, Benjamin Netanyahu says he didn't take bribes, he just took gifts. Now only the House of Yahweh knows what that means. And then you get into Secretary Rex Tillerson. Remember Turkey and Erdogan going to the Vatican. And remember when he left, it said they will speak with one voice. And remember how Turkey and the United States were combating each other. Well, after Erdogan's trip to the Vatican and now speaking with one voice, the United States has come out and says, now we can work together to combat Syria. Of course, because remember who rules over the kings of the earth. It's that serpent that sits on the seven hills. Also notice, Secretary Tillerson says there is a peace plan and it's very advanced in its stages. And the President of the United States will soon tell what it is when he sees fit. And then also the latest nuclear strategy is called posturing, to where the United States is wanting to make nuclear bombs and classify them as conventional weapons. In other words, they can be used in any type of situation. Remember, they called them tactical. Now they're calling them conventional, but they're wanting to put them to use. So pay close attention, but before you do anything, remember, they're calling out to their gods. Their gods are not listening. But if they'll turn their foot from breaking the Sabbath and call it a delight and honor Yahweh, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, Yahweh would hear them. But hear the desperation and realize they're calling out to you. You are the ones they're calling out to for this help. Every seed of the one sent. If we could go ahead and play the news. Everybody will please stand. Now, I want you to keep in mind all the disgust and the anguish you've seen over these 17 individuals that were killed this week. Nobody made mention of the 735 people that committed suicide in the United States this week, or the 23,196 abortions that took place this week. The world needs the house of Yahweh, and the house of Yahweh needs the one sent. So at this time, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated.
Isn't it strange that the world is exactly like Yahweh said it would be in this generation? Quite a coincidence, huh? Praise Yahweh. I was just told by the great Kohan Benjamin that if you look up today's date in Greek, 1/12, first month, first day of the 12th moon, look it up in Strong's in Greek, it means godless. You get that? Godless, without God. I told you this calendar is going to have a lasting effect on people. Beautiful. We're reaching people. I can't take much time on this. I've got to cover some points. But we're reaching people big time on this Facebook. And it's really going strong. The new moon was sighted in several different places. Louisiana, South Carolina, Jamaica. And South Africa. We still don't know and won't know what this moon is, whether it's the 12 disciples or the two witnesses, until we sight the moon at the new moon of green ears. If we don't sight them this next moon, it'll be the 12 disciples. If we do sight it, there won't be a 12 disciples. I mean, there won't be a two witnesses new moon this year if we do sight it. After we do sight this moon, it will be kept straight from now on, okay? Praise Yahweh. I know the calendars, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but maybe the others can. The calendars was invented to take Yahweh out of the picture. He tells you in Exodus 12:2, this moon will be the beginning of the moons to you. Now that's the one with the green ears. That starts your new moon. And that's what we're going to go by, and that's what the calendar is made to show at first moon, and then we'll go by sighting every moon. They've tried to figure out calendars where they wouldn't have to come before Yahweh and look for the new moon, because you're told to do so. In Isaiah 65:22, it says this is going to be forever. And the ones that don't do that, there's going to be turned to dust again, which was also brought out. What I want to work on, let me see, I think that's it. What I want you to see, we're getting close to Yahshua's memorial, and we really need to spend some time studying this and correcting ourselves and overcoming. We need to get our minds off of the world totally off of worldly things. Just everything you think of right now should be getting yourself ready for the feast. And you don't have to go out and mix into the world to do this. You know, it's all made available, and we've gone to extremes to make it available. Of all things, I guess, most difficult in our lives today, especially today, the Martin Luther King, he did a lot of damage in promoting the word proud. People didn't realize what he was doing. I don't think he did himself, but people from that time period, both all races have put it in, got it put in their mind that they need to be proud. Stand up tall and be a proud people. Think of yourself most highly. The motivational speakers, they do this. Zig Ziglar was one of them that promoted this proudness, and you're above everyone in the world. Well, of course, that's God worship. And you're not above. You know, you're a human being. You're a created being, as Yahweh said. He created you. That puts Him above. He's our Father. He's also the most, He has the most wisdom of any being in the universe. He has the wisdom that He offers to mankind. He offers it to us if we will humble ourselves as a little child. And Yeshua says, this is where I left off last week. Yeshua says, if you don't, you certainly won't be a part of this kingdom that Yahweh has offered to mankind. And that was in the beginning, 126, Genesis 126. This humility, it's a quality humility is what you want. It's a quality of state of mind and heart, of being humble to the work that Yahweh Himself, that Yahweh inspired His prophets to write about. A work promise. Now, in those same prophets, if it's been asked me many times, how do you know this is just not fairy tales? Well, fairy tales can't foretell the future. And in these prophets' writings, the future is foretold, like the nuclear bomb that can destroy the, darken the sun and destroy the earth. You know, to be in this generation, not just a generation, somewhere down the line, but even so, that would still be foretell it. But He actually specifies the generation where you would have this nuclear bomb that can darken the sun. That proves the prophecies true and trustworthy. Now, in those same prophecies, Yahweh, the same prophets, wrote about this promise. He showed you why you were here, shows you why you were created. Why should we not believe it after seeing the bombs that was prophesied in the days of Deuteronomy, in the days of Eob? Eob lived in the Levitical priesthood, that he was a product of that, and was held up by Yahweh to be one who actually qualifies for receiving. He qualified by keeping Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments. He qualified for this place in Yahweh's kingdom. He won't receive it without us. That was also foretold. Yahweh foretold the earth being in this mess. You see what the political leaders are saying? They can't do anything. There's nothing they can do to stop it. There's nothing on their agendas that says this will stop this. There's nothing to stop the wars. They have no answers to any of this, and the man got really blatant about this when he was telling you that a while ago, and used a four-letter word in doing so. They have no answers. That's exactly what the prophets of Yahweh foretold they would have in this time period. No answers. They'd have bombs that could destroy and burn the earth, darken the sun and burn the earth. That was prophesied thousands of years ago. No human being could look in the future and see that. That proves you can trust the prophecy. You're a fool, Yeshua said, if you don't believe every word that the prophets have spoken. You don't live, he said, except by every word that the prophets have spoken. I know a lot of people get angry with me, you know, for this bringing out. I know I'm different. I know that the house of Yahweh is, there's nothing like it on earth. We're it. But I'm telling you, it's the best. It's, yes, I want you all to make it. And if I see you going wrong, if I don't correct you, it's my fault. If I do correct you and you want to continue to burn, go to the path of burning, that's where you're going to go. You can trust the scriptures there too. They won't change. They're absolutely true. The way to get to life, the way not to get to life. And it's for all. But humility, you know, that's it's the state of mind. This is shown in the scriptures, the state of mind and heart. You've got to love Yahweh with all your mind, with all your heart. Being humble to the work. Yeshua said, this is the work that you believe into the one sent. This is the work. You got to humble yourself to that work, as Yeshua himself did. Yet that is the first step to a place in Yahweh's kingdom. Humbling yourself. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Seek that first. It's got to be first in your life. It's not after you get back from Walmart playing around in a store where you never should have been to first place. Seek it first. You got all the books to do so at his house, at his work, where his work is done. That should be plain enough. If you turn over to Luke, I want to show you something about Yeshua. He's the one that is telling you this. And I want to show you that he lived exactly as he's teaching us that we've got to live. So when you do this, you rest in mind and heart that you're following Yahshua's example that he set for you. If your anger is at me and you're not listening to what I say, and you're not reading the words that Yeshua, that I'm going to read to you, you know, it can keep your mind from understanding this. You can't keep Satan in your mind and Yahweh at the same time. You've got to get one or the other out. This is Yahshua's life here. And, of course, in verse 41 of Luke 2, he says, now every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Every year. You know, that's what Yahweh said, that the last day's work is going to be teaching too. I'll show you that if we get into that scripture in my lessons here on getting ready for Yeshua. Yeshua says here, now every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Every year. That means they were keeping this law that Yahweh said, this will be the beginning of moons to you. That's what sets your feast days. That's what's going to set our feast day. If we don't see the green ears to go with the new moon next moon, we will simply postpone the feast till the moon where we will see the green ears. And that's a fact. If we had it any other time, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be Yahweh's way. And you do have to watch for it. And as Isaiah 66 shows, I just quoted it a while ago. As the new heaven and the new earth will stand before me, so will these feast days and Sabbath days, and from one new moon to another, and from one feast day to another, one Sabbath to another, all flesh that is left alive, is going to appear before Yahweh. Verse 48. Once when the 12 disciples, once when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem for the feast. That's Yahshua it's speaking of. He was 12 years old. You got that? He was 12 years old. And when the feast days were over, when they ended, they left, but the boy remained behind in Jerusalem. However, Joseph and his mother did not know of it, but they thinking that he was in the traveling company, went a day's journey, then they searched for him among the relatives and friends. But when they did not find him, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Finally, after three days, now get that, they searched for 3 days. This is very important that you understand, and probably knowing mothers, it was frantic and sleepless probably. They were searching for Yahshua. Now you got to get that in mind or you won't even understand what he's trying to show you here. They searched frantically for him for 3 whole days. They found finally, after 3 days, they found him in the sacred precincts, sitting in the midst of the doctors. That's the teachers of the law, as is shown in other places, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him was astonished. You know, all that hears our missionary team, all that hears these boys, they're grown men now, but most of them, but all that hear them speak, the dignitaries as well as other children, their ages and under, they marvel. They marvel at what they bring forth. Praise Yahweh. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were... That's the parents now. When the parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Behold, your father and I searched for you in great distress." You see that? Great distress. You would be that way too if it was your child. Great distress. He said to them, "Why is it that you search for me?" Do you get that question there? Why didn't you know, mother, dad, father? Why didn't you know where I was? You know me like a book. You raised me. You taught me. You know my job. Where would I be? Where else would I be but the sacred precinct learning? You see that? This is what was in Yahshua's mind. Yes, he thought his parents would know. His mind wasn't on the world. It was on learning to do this business of Yahweh. Business, yes, that's what it's called. A work. I don't think he was sarcastic, but I think that he was pointing out here, I know he was pointing out, he says, Do you not know, do you not yet know after 12 years that I must be about my Father's work? I'm 12 years old. He's saying to you who want to be like him, be about your Father's work. He's saying to his mother and daddy here, you should have known where I was. You know, this is where I come and study every feast in the sacred precincts. Why would I be out playing around? My job is to learn about and to be able to perform my Father's business. You see all the things that what it should have went on between those and my, maybe did. Maybe it was just condensed. But it's certainly there for you to see that Yahshua was sincere about his Father's business, and that's what he trained for every time he came to Jerusalem and got the opportunity to go before a priest and ask them questions and also answer questions for them. Can you drink that cup? You can't drink that cup right there and have the world in your mind. It just doesn't work. You've got to get your mind off of this world. Don't try to work till the last minute and rush here to the house of Yahweh. It doesn't work. In the first place, if you think about what these people, how far they traveled and how they traveled to come to this feast, you could see a one day's journey bringing animals. What did the people live off of? Try to get this in your mind. Now, I'm talking about an example set for you, and you've got to be the best. You've got to be like Yahshua. He set you a perfect example. And he says, be perfect. And he tells you that. And the apostles tell us the same thing. He set you a perfect example here. Not only that, throughout his whole life, he is willing to die. How close are you to that cup that he drank? Now notice what else he did here. He is 12 years old. Get this in your mind. He was 12 years old. Now I want you to read that for yourself. You proud? You too proud to get yourself down to this right here? The world is. The whole business for changing this calendar was so they wouldn't have to obey Yahweh. Well, they don't have to obey Yahweh anyway. They don't have to get life eternal. They don't have to accept this gift from Yahweh. But more than that, they wanted to deceive the whole world. This is what was put into their minds. They changed the calendar. The Gregorian calendar is nothing but a bunch of deceit to get people to using the names of gods every day in their lives. And it's very difficult to get it out. And every time I deal with the world and have to write the date cut from the Gregorian calendar, it makes me irritated. So he went back with them, this is verse 51, went back with them and came to Nazareth and was subject. Did you get that? Wow, a 12-year-old boy or girl and he is subject. You know what that means? He was obedient. The Scripture says, that one of the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. This is one way you honor your father and mother, unless they want you to God worship. If they want you to God worship, of course, the best way to honor them is to tell them, this is God worship, mother. I don't want any part of it. These people did not teach God worship. They taught Yahweh worship. They were keeping the feast like Yahweh told them to do, according to the new moon of green ears. It was where these Catholic priests, Coptic Catholics, tried to stop this and finally sent Titus, the Roman general. You can read this in history or my newsletters. They sent the Coptic Catholics, who were actually governing the temple at that time, had all the offices occupied, the ones with authority, had squeezed their way in and deceived their way in to control that temple after Solomon died. And they had full control, using violence with their Roman army. They'd simply have them arrested, thrown in jail. If they argued with what was taking place in that temple, they'd have them arrested. The Roman army, that's what they did with them. They came and arrested them. And this is shown in Acts, the 7th through 10th chapter, 4 through 10 actually. The Pharisees, who were Coptic Catholics, in charge of, did you know that they sent the scriptures to Egypt to be translated? You'd think they grew up a little, wouldn't you? Yeah, this was, I thought, I just found out this week that they actually sent the scriptures to Egypt to get this translation into Latin and then to bring it back and put it into English. Well, of course, they changed the Roman calendar, or changed the calendar. There's no such word as calendar in the scriptures. Yahweh said, this is going to be it right here. You know, the problem is not, you know, they talk about inaccuracies when you're reading about this. You can really fall for a lot of junk if you read about the calendars and how they came into effect. And they say, none of this is accurate. But they try to get this many months out of a year, this many days out of a year, this many hours. The only thing inaccurate is their own clocks. The clock in heaven never loses time and never gains time. They have just never been able, through their wisdom, their great knowledge that they think they have, to copy this time. Their time, the minutes, the hours, and so forth, that they don't match. They don't match. And they don't know how to make them match. And they say, well, the moon and the sun is inconsistent. No. No. They've been the same for 6,000 years that we know of and never changed at all. They just haven't found clocks or calendars that could match to where they'd have to go look for green ears. So they fixed their own calendar so they wouldn't have to go before Yahweh. And even if it's cloudy, it doesn't make any difference. Go before Yahweh. That's the main thing. Go before Yahweh, fellowship, rejoice before Yahweh. There's a lot of rejoicing went on here last night. I saw it. And took the confessions and so forth, and I saw great joy here in this sanctuary. So he went back, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and this was great, that she understood what he was saying. And Yahshua increased in wisdom, in age, in honor, with Yahweh and with man. Now, of course, that is a lot from two verses or three. But if you just read these and see that Yahshua, he's going to, you know, put us to the test here. And we don't want to eat and drink a bunch of damnation to our soul. So hang on to that bitterness and hatred. Why are you angry, Cain? hang on to that and you will burn. Get it out of your cell. Start thinking about getting it out of your cell. Start thinking about getting the campgrounds ready, the foods ready, your own teachings, because we're going to be using you in teachings to get the sanctuary and the people prepared to drink of this cup of Yahshua. This cup of Yahshua is easy. All you got to do is humble yourself like a child. Go to the place Yahweh says to go, where he placed it in prophecy. The same prophets that said the nuclear bomb is going to be here told you where his house would be, how it would be established, how it would be the teachers that would be there to teach. Yahshua being one, Yahshua that wants you to drink this cup with him. If you don't drink it, you're gone anyway. If you do drink it and you don't get rid of this stuff from you right now, and if this is the feast, you're gone. You better work on it. It's urgent, very urgent. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next song. I love you.